Good afternoon, friends. Good morning, good day, whenever you're looking at this, watching this. Today is Thursday, January 21st. First I should say, because some have noted this in the past, if you hear snorting noises or snoring or some that weird noises, it's not me or my stomach, it's two chows in the room. So just so you know, he's visiting he's sitting in on our recording today. So that's what you're hearing. It's been a while since I've sat down to do a session like this, and typically I would reflect on something in scripture, the scripture of the day, or scripture of tomorrow, or the scripture of yesterday, or a feast day of the week. And frankly, you know, I kind of moved through some of the scriptures and where my mind kept taking me and heart kept taking me was just to reflect on, gosh, these very eventful past couple of weeks. We all were relieved to turn the page of the calendar, of course, to 2021, knowing that the year would hold some challenges, as 2020 did, most especially dealing with COVID. But we didn't expect January 6th to happen. The attack at the U.S. Capitol, and how that has shaken us. Then, of course, yesterday was the inauguration of the new president, President Biden, and everything that would mean in terms of kind of resetting the calendar, resetting, getting a start, another start to the new year, knowing that there are significant challenges ahead of us, certainly COVID, certainly political divisions that we that we may have been aware of to a certain extent, not realizing the depth of our division, which was demonstrated on January 6th. So in any case, you know, what I want to reflect, in the midst of all that, I read an article about how the church understands the role of the government. Because one of the things that caught me, besides all the other dark images of the Capitol uprising, event, assault. As a churchman and as a Christian, you know, the presence of, or the belief that Jesus was on their side, right? Or Jesus is on our side, carrying crosses. Jesus is our Savior, Trump is our president, whatever, bringing Jesus into the mix. Because, needless to say, our faith has a lot to do with how we live our lives as citizens of the world, of whatever nation we're a part of, whatever country. So So what specifically for us as Catholics, and especially now with a Catholic president, much has been made out of Biden's Catholicism, you know, out of our being shaped by our faith, by our Catholicism. You know, what is the appropriate role of the government, you know, according to the teaching of the church? Any individual church person has his or her own idea of what that should be. Certainly the person who carries a cross while breaking into the U.S. Capitol has decided that their faith impels them to do this. You know, our bishops are divided, I would say, with regard to what is the appropriate role of the Catholic Church in influencing Catholic legislators. What is the role of a Catholic legislator? So it's a whole mess of questions, which we're not going to answer in 7.5 minutes. But just there was a good article that I read recently by a Franciscan by the name of Daniel Horan. He writes in the National Catholic Reporter. And he kind of summarizes, you know, what church teaching is, what we find in church teaching with regard to the role of government. And, you know, what the catechism, for example, of the Catholic Church. It is the role of the state to defend and promote the common good of civil society. That's kind of their summary of what. So there again, we find that phrase "common good" more than individual liberties. You know what the church seeks to do, or what a government should do according to our teaching, is to protect the common good. And if you dig further, as he does, into the documents of the Second Vatican Council, for example, the document Gaudium et Spes, you know, explains then what that common good looks like. And under three headings: respect for the human person, prioritization of collective social well-being and development. That is, who are we as a people, and how does the state promote that, and the pursuit of peace. Gaudium et Spes is this great line: in our time, a special obligation binds us to make ourselves the neighbor of every person without exception. And so when we talk about, you know, respect for the human person and the dignity of the human person, you know, it's like it or not, that means everybody. And that means everybody from, you know, whom we define as a human person, for unborn life, through all of the stages of life, all of the choices that people make in life, always looking, always respecting the good of the neighbor and finding dignity in every person. That, you know, and that's something that we hear here at Ascension a lot. For example, In guiding the principles of who we are as a school, for example, you know, always what we're reminding ourselves is that we're helping each and every child to know that he or she is a beloved child of God. you know, more than reading and writing and arithmetic, as they say, is that how do we foster that truth? And not only that truth for them, but do all of our teachers believe themselves to be beloved children of God? Does everyone who comes to Mass at Ascension believe that? Do our families believe that? I mean, that's kind of that North Star, if you will, that guides us into whatever our mission might be. The second element of the common good, as it's written here, the social well-being. Again, great words. You know, it's the government's responsibility to provide for people what it takes to be healthy for the well-being of the person and the common good. So here's what it says specifically. Everything necessary for leading a life truly human, such as food, clothing, and shelter. The right to choose a state of life freely and to found a family. The right to education, to employment, to a good reputation, to respect, to appropriate information, to activity in accord with the upright norm of one's own conscience, the primacy of one's conscience, to protection of privacy and rightful freedom, even in matters religious, so their religious freedom and liberty. You know, our Catholic social teaching reminds us that it's government's role to ensure that this happens. Food, clothing, shelter. It's not someone else's responsibility. It's our responsibility as a people. It's written in our DNA that every person should enjoy the right of those things. It's part of being human and what humans need. The third element, which is, which surprised me in a sense just because I didn't know it was pulled out in this way, but the pursuit of peace. Everyone has the right to live in peace. And then that guides, for example, you know, why a country would have a military force. Obviously to protect peace, or law enforcement officers to protect the peace that each person deserves. And they talk about that mission being both domestic and international. So in any case, I mean, if you're familiar with NCR, I direct you to this article. The church teaches that the purpose of government is the common good, period. Daniel P. Horan. You know, again, what stands out for me specifically with regard to all of that is that although it refers to an individual's well-being, it really constantly is talking about those things which are necessary for the common good. That is, if each person has those things, then society will be strong. It does not ensure that I have the right to do anything I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it, about individual liberties, but the common good. Again, a much broader and deeper discussion than we're having here. But in any case, and the reason I bring this to here today is because of course all of the reading and the viewing that we're doing with regard to our government in these days of transition. But also moving forward, you know what, as we look at our mission here at Ascension and we talk more and more about issues of racial equity, you know, working for justice in employment, justice in education. You know, Ascension's been about justice in education for as long as Ascension's been around, or equity in education, providing an excellent education to everyone, making that available. And we do that at great cost here at Ascension, which is to say our school, frankly, costs a lot of money. But we do that because we believe in what our Catholic social teaching teaches us, that everyone has a right to education. And we know how important, of course, an excellent education is. And moving forward in life. So as we move forward in kind of deepening our understanding of equity in lots of areas of life, the role of government in that is an important one. Because what do we have the right to look to government to do? And of course, you know, people are on a very long continuum of that spectrum with regard to taxation, for example, and to label it, you know, or characteristic Democrat positions on it and Republican positions on it. You know, parties have different positions, legislators. So when we are looking at those things out of our lens of faith, what do we have, what can we expect, or what can we call on the state or the government to do? So it just helps inform, inform that discussion. The inauguration. You know, one highlight that is getting a lot of attention these days is the poem that was read by Amanda Gordon, young 22-year-old, poised, graceful, confident, intelligent, artful, hopeful, challenging words. It was, can you hear Chucho snoring now? I bet you can. This is what I live with. But, you know, obviously, in a very literal way, she provided the poetry to yesterday's ceremony, both literally and figuratively. She put an American kind of hopeful vision into some very artful words. So I just want to pull out a few lines from her, because again, I think they reflect in some ways not only hopes that we have, let me own it, hopes that I have for the country, but hopes that I have, that we might have, for the church or for our own Ascension community. this line, for example, and this again is from Amanda Gorman's Hill poem, The Hill We Climb. Somehow we've weathered and witnessed a nation that isn't broken, but simply unfinished. That's just a very helpful point of clarification, isn't it? You know, we as Catholics know, you know, a church that often seems broken. You know, especially as we've weathered and continue to weather, of course, the effects of clergy sexual abuse. Broken. But the question really isn't how do we put it back together? How do we fix it? But how do we get on with the work of finishing, you know, what indeed the Lord has begun? You know, we talk about that with regard to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God that is here already, that came in Jesus, but is not yet, the kingdom yet to come, the kingdom yet to be fully realized, fully manifest. Have we been saved? Yes. You know, Jesus freed us from the things that would kill us, namely death. We don't have death to fear, so what? There's nothing that can hold us back from living the kingdom, from being totally self-giving, self-sacrificing. Are we there yet? No, I'm still selfish. I still am afraid. I still have not realized self-surrender to the way of Jesus. Unfinished, unfinished, always on the way. And listen to this. This was a kind of the front end of her poem. To compose a country committed to all cultures, colors, characters, and conditions of man. And so we lift our gaze not to what stands between us, but what stands before us. We close the divide because we know to put our future first, we must first put our differences aside. We lay down our arms so we can reach out our arms to one another. We seek harm to none and harmony for all. And I pulled this out because it just emphasizes that common good theme. That we make sacrifices with regard to our own purpose, our own need to contribute to the good of all. Let the globe, if nothing else, say this is true, that even as we grieved, we grew, that even as we hurt, we hoped, that even as we tired, we tried, that we'll forever be tied together victorious, not because we will never again know defeat, but because we will never again sow division. Again, in kind of an overlap between what the common good calls us to and what our faith calls us to. And that really is why we hear the phrase common good so much in our Catholic social teaching, because it really is the heart of the gospel, right? To love one another. And so to give ourselves to the good of the other, and therefore the good of the whole. And this is a great way to end this discussion, because it's almost a prayer. When day comes, we step out of the shade of flame, and unafraid, the new dawn balloons as we free it. For there was always light. There was always light. That's such, again, it. That's such a, at its heart, and I don't know her religious background or her religious posture these days, you know, what are, sorry, kids. There was always light. That's such a Christian truth, right? Such a Christian belief that there is, there was, there always will be light. There was always light if only we're brave enough to see it, if only we're brave enough to be it. Good poetry, because you could like a good piece of art, you could just stand in front of it or sit with it. And kind of pull out the strands of truth in that for you. But there was always light. If only we're brave enough to see it, if only we're brave enough to be it. That's a great truth to carry as we, certainly in, as we go forward in bringing healing to our country. As a Christian community, how we bring healing to our neighborhood and our community as well. So, thank you, my friends, for being with me here today. God bless you. God bless our country. God bless our neighborhood. God bless Ascension. We'll talk to you soon.